Coming up on a pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live, we'll be discussing worry, what it is, how to overcome it. Christian life coach John Redd joins us to talk about overcoming worry on tonight's edition of Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's good to have you with us as a pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live originates from studios located in First Christian Church of Wiley, Texas. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of issues. And John Redd, I don't think worry could be topped in terms of a practical issue for us to deal with.
It truly is. We live in a world that is ripe for having things to worry about.
Yeah, good thing to keep in mind. John Redd is a Christian life coach. He holds a BS degree in health education. He's a licensed minister, certified intrinsic coach. And life coaching has been a passion of John's because it helps people move forward toward who they are created to be. John's also the founder and director of Renewal Ministries, and we'll tell you more about their ministry of supporting and encouraging pastors. John, let's begin with a definition of worry. How do you define it?
You know, there's the definition that are in all the books, but the way that I really define it is it's tormenting. We torment ourselves because it's something that we create a situation in our head about, and then we continue to ruminate on it.
How do we do that? Why would we do it, and how do we do it?
Well, let's start with the root of it. I think for us as believers, it really comes down to this, Don. We just don't trust God.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting in Matthew chapter 6, where three times Jesus commanded in the Sermon on the Mount, stop being anxious.
Right.
He put the little phrase in there, O ye of little faith.
Right.
So that's the hidden root.
It is.
And I'm so glad we worked that into our program tonight, because when we worry, we're allowing our minds to become distracted, and that's the root word for worry and anxiety in the New Testament, which brings me to the question, do you draw a distinction in your coaching ministry and counseling ministry between worry and anxiety?
Yeah, I think it's almost like a progression. We have a situation that comes up like we've talked about, and we continue to think about it, and we apply energy to it. And that can become a state of anxiety if we don't get relief from it.
Hmm. Now, what are the negative effects, the impact of worry in our lives?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind is just the amount of time we spend, the wasted time of just talking and thinking about these things. The other thing is the physical and the emotional aspect of worrying and the anxiety.
Yeah, really weighs on our lives. Not taking phone calls. Our program is pre-recorded. John, is there a connection between worry and stress? We live in such a stress-filled life today.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. It's a progression. Again, it's sort of a circular answer here, but we just continue to think about things and the rumination on the situation that we don't break the cycle of.
Yeah.
And it becomes that stress level.
And some of you feeling tremendous stresses. Life is expensive these days. We have things happen like the attempted assassination of President Trump a couple of weekends ago. And when people think about this kind of traumatic event and the impact on lives that something like that would have, it gives us even more reason to worry from one standpoint.
Right, absolutely. You know, and there's a lot of things in life that are important to us, and those are typically the things that we think about and we can worry about.
And in fact, in that passage in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus began by saying, no man can serve two masters, you can't serve God and money, he talked about the fact that there are things that we need, clothing, food, shelter, those kinds of things we worry about. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more with Christian life coach John Redd. If you'd like to learn more about the Hope Speaks Clinic, their website is hopespeaks.com. We'll be right back. Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarborough on the story of Scripture.
It's a two-day seminar that walks individuals from Genesis to Revelation and tells the grand story of God and what He is doing.
Don't miss your opportunity to find your place in the greatest story ever told.
And we find out by the time we get to the Gospels, it's all about Jesus.
To learn more or sign up, visit thestoryofscripture.org. Thestoryofscripture.org.
In Hebrew, the number 18 symbolizes life. It's Chai, a word that echoes hope and blessings. The Master Life Coach Training Institute, Agape Care International, and the Fund for Victims of Terror extend this lifeline to Israeli military and their families, offering trauma assistance during these challenging times.
You can stand with Israel by donating as little as $18 at mymlcti.com, providing training and support to volunteers who uplift broken hearts.
Donate now. Be a blessing.
We are back on a pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live, not taking telephone calls. I'm Don Hawkins. John Redd is with me tonight, and in addition to his life coaching ministry with our friends at Hope Speaks Clinic, John has started a ministry called Renewell Ministries, R-E-N-E-W-E-L-L. Very creative spelling there, John.
Thanks, Don. Yes, sir.
Tell us about that ministry.
Well, the name is very much what it says. It's to renew well. We want to walk alongside pastors and ministry leaders literally around the world to help encourage them and to just be that person who is here to stand with them, be an encouragement.
Now, pastors don't worry, correct?
Oh, never.
They have their denial intact.
They're on that river sometimes. Yes,
yes,
sir.
They do that indeed. But in reality, and it's interesting that the word for worry, the word for anxiety that Jesus used in Matthew 6, Paul used about Timothy, who was a pastor, and he said, I have no man like-minded, this is in Philippians 2, who will genuinely or naturally care for your concerns. A pastor has concerns for his flock, just like a shepherd has concern for his sheep. Talk about the balance between caring legitimately and getting off into worry.
You know, it's the part of carrying versus being just there for them, to pastor and to shepherd them well, but not carry their burden.
Yeah, and that's an important distinction. And for those of you who are pastors, we pray that God's grace will give you the wisdom so that you can achieve that balance. John, do you have a metaphor, a word picture that helps us understand the negative effect of worry?
Absolutely. You know, you think about worry and a situation as being like a fire. The more we think about it, the more we're pouring fuel onto that toward the fuel, and the flames come up and really begin to dictate and overwhelm our lives if we don't have an outlet for it.
Yeah. So what if we were able to cut down on worry or even cut it out? How would that impact our lives?
Well, you know, from a personal standpoint, I think about all the time that I've wasted worrying. And most of the time, Don, like we mentioned, things that don't come to pass most of the time.
Yeah.
And so that's just wasted time of my life that I haven't been able to do other things that I should do.
Yeah, and some of you, frankly, recognize the fact that you spend a great deal of time worrying, and there's a lot in Scripture that talks about that. What does the Old Testament tell us about worry, John?
Oh, I love Proverbs 12:25.
Yeah.
Anxiety, that word, in a man's heart weighs him down, but then a good word makes him glad.
Yeah, I like the concept of being weighed down. It's almost like we have the idea, you know, sometimes when a person goes out and it's cold. Now, we're in the summertime right now, and it's extremely hot, and we don't go out in 101, 102 degree weather. But just imagine, you know, if it's 10 below zero or something, and we're going out, we have on maybe a sweater, may have on a jacket, we have on an overcoat over that, and we're sort of weighed down with that. Maybe that's a little bit of a metaphor for worry as well. Again, if you'd like to learn more about Renewal Ministries, the website is
renewalministries.org.
And that's R-E-N-E-W-E-L-L ministries.org. I'll be right back with John after these words.
In the heart of tradition, where each letter carries weight, the number 18 stands tall. In Hebrew, it's Chai, the very essence of life, a symbol woven into the fabric of Jewish culture. At celebrations, we toast L'chaim, to life, anticipating joy and prosperity. Now, the Master Life Coach Training Institute, Agape Care International, and the Fund for Victims of Terror channel this ancient blessing to those who need it most.
In the shadow of conflict, Israeli soldiers and their families face the toll of war. Let's stand with Israel by donating just $18 at mymlcti.com.
Your gift, less than a family meal at some fast food restaurants, can nourish souls by training volunteers dedicated to mending spirits shattered by crisis.
Visit mymlcti.com to make a donation. That's mymlcti.com.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in a people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's sat7usa.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. We are back on Encouragement Live. Don Hawkins with John Redd, a pre-recorded edition of our program, talking about worry. John, you spend a lot of time working with the Hope Speaks Clinic, our friend Dr. Tom Schoaf. Do you guys treat people who are dealing with the effects of worry?
You know, Don, that's probably one of the biggest things that we do deal with there is ministering to clients and patients that are having anxiety or stress issues.
Yeah. So a lot of that going around. Absolutely. And what are the major triggers for the anxiety or stress that people are coming in to see you with?
It's most of the time it's a traumatic or just a life issue or something that's happened that most of us might look at as not being that significant, but mm-hmm. their perspective is that it's huge. It's a mountain.
Yeah. In fact, I've done a lot of reading recently on trauma, and we're putting mm-hmm. some material together to help people in Israel deal with trauma in a Master Life Coach Training Institute. And trauma can certainly lead to people beginning to engage more in worry and anxiety,
right.
Correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's when they start, especially traumatic things, they'll start exhibiting other behaviors as well.
Yeah. Let's go back to the Old Testament. You mentioned Proverbs 12:25, right. The weight of that, mm-hmm. but the word of a good word, encouragement, so critical. How desperately we need encouragement.
Oh, it's so true. And you know, God's word is full of encouragement.
Yeah. And so the bottom line is if we can look for opportunities to encourage others,
yes.
we might mitigate their worry. Other scripture from the Old Testament?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Isaiah 41:10, and I love the first part of this. Fear not.
Mm, yeah.
For I am with you.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, and then he goes on to say, I am your God. Don't be dismayed. That would be the idea of being discouraged or
correct.
Weighed down.
Right.
And I love the statements, I will strengthen you, mm-hmm. I will help you, mm-hmm. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Just read that. Folks, if you'll just read that and believe that and yeah. trust that, the Lord is with you and for you.
That will make a huge difference. You know, going back all the way to the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit, mm-hmm. one of the things that Adam said was, I was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
That was the very first negative emotion that mankind experienced was mm-hmm. fear. And that, of course, leads to worry. Fear and worry are kind of first cousins. Mm-hmm. And so now we go back to the New Testament, and we've already alluded to the fact that Jesus had a lot to say about worry and anxiety, mm-hmm. and give us a little perspective on that from Matthew.
Yeah, you know, from the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about the things that we're supposed to be and the Beatitudes, but he tells us that if we worry about the things that we may need, our food, our clothing, and like you mentioned, Don, we can't serve two masters. Our mind will be focused on those things versus focused on the Lord.
Yeah. So easy for us to become focused on money these days, mm-hmm. though, with inflation having been so rampant over the last long time and mm-hmm. in our world today. My wife and I went to the grocery store last week, and our goal was $100 worth of groceries, and we came out. We were almost at $150,
yeah.
and the gal said, you know, that's the day we're living in, mm-hmm. the checkout gal.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to, if we're not careful, we find ourselves worrying about those. But Jesus told us not to worry mm-hmm. because he knows that if we're infatuated with anything, including our life situations, it takes our affections away from the Lord.
Yes, that's right.
And Matthew 6:33, probably one of the great verses about God's provision. Give us a perspective on that.
He just tells us that he's there for us, and he's not going to leave us or forsake us, and that he will be our provider and with us forever.
Yeah. Seek first his kingdom. His
yeah.
righteousness. All these things.
That's right.
And he'd been talking about, you know, food, clothing, shelter,
right.
and even our concerns about the future.
Right.
So, well, now, let's give some reasons why Jesus told us not to worry. We'll kind of read into and amplify
right.
on the message he gave there.
Right. You know, it's so interesting. If we'll just dig into this a little bit, you know, worry does not benefit anyone. It's nothing. There's no positive things. Jesus said that worrying is futile. It doesn't produce any good. And if we don't stop worrying, then we're yeah. going to have our affections and our directions focused away from the Lord.
Okay, so worry is absolutely futile, doesn't benefit anybody, doesn't help you, doesn't help your family, doesn't help your church, doesn't help your friends.
Doesn't give you a solution. It's just worry.
No solutions. Okay, what else about worry?
It's unnecessary. We've talked about the chances of things that we worry about coming to pass are often very, very seldom. And I think if we look at that, that we also know that what scriptures we just talked about, that we don't need to worry. The Lord loves birds of the air, fish of the sea.
Yeah.
He loves us more. It's
yeah.
just not worth the worry.
And Jesus did talk about think about the birds in the air. And then he talked about the flowers. And
he said,
if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today right. is and tomorrow's cast into the oven, how will he not much more clothe you?
Mm-hmm.
And then he inserted that little phrase we mentioned earlier, O ye of little faith.
Yeah.
So the third thing about what worry does negatively.
Yeah, we've talked about this already a little bit, but it does. It takes our mind away from the Lord. It puts our devotion focused on the problem or the situation and away from God.
If you just joined us, friend, our program is pre-recorded, but we're talking about a very practical topic, worry, dealing with the subject, and we've mentioned this before. We're devoted sometimes to worry, but Jesus told us to seek first, to think first about his kingdom, which I think John refers to his authority
mm-hmm.
over everything in the world, including us,
right.
and then his righteousness, that would be following the commands of Scripture to obey him. And not get off into ungodly kinds of living. And if we do those things, if we seek those things, and by the way, that word seek, we shouldn't ignore the definition of that. Do you remember the time when Jesus was 12 years old and he and Mary and Joseph went down to the temple and they left to go back home? You remember why?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Jesus turned up missing.
Right.
M.I.A. And mom and dad were seeking him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're a parent, and
right.
you know how this is. If your kid gets lost in a mall or, heaven forbid, you know, in the city of Jerusalem at Passover time, you know, it could be pretty intense.
Right.
And so when Mary said, your father and I sought you sorrowing, she wasn't just talking about a casual, you know, looking on the internet or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we seek first with the kind of passion that Mary had for looking for Jesus when he was 12 years old for God's kingdom and righteousness, I don't think John, we'll have room for worry.
Oh, that's good, Don.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Just think about that. Yeah. So your point is well taken. Worry exposes our devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John, we're not dismissing the fact that there are some times in our lives when we have legitimate concerns about a situation or even about people that we love, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, situations happen. Things do happen in our lives that could cause us to worry. But that's the key, is we need to take that thought captive to the truth.
Now, some of you listening to our program tonight, maybe you're dealing with some medical expenses that you don't have the money for, the answer for. Maybe your insurance has turned down a claim and you're really up against a wall.
Mm.
There is a promise in the book of Philippians,
that's right.
John. Talk about it.
Yeah, Philippians 4:19 says, God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
So I think the point that you're underscoring there, his riches, not ours.
That's right.
And his riches, you know, there are a lot of rich people in our world today.
Right.
We talk about Elon Musk, or we talk about even Donald Trump and other people who have had a lot of money, made a lot of money, and Rockefellers, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is nobody has the kind of provision that our God has. It's inexhaustible.
Absolutely. And, you know, and this was written by Paul from prison.
Yeah.
And he was, we pray for those things of provision, but the spiritual peace that comes from knowing Christ, that's really the gift we get.
Yeah.
Is knowing him.
And it's right there in that context, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, which says, stop being anxious for anything.
Right. Absolutely.
And in other words, Paul is implying, you guys are worrying about things, you're being anxious about things, so cut it out.
Right.
And by the power of God, and Scripture never tells us to do something that God won't empower us.
Right.
And now he suggests an alternative that really works well.
Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is such a beautiful model of how we walk through this thing.
Yeah.
And it says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication. And here's a key, Don, with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make your request. Make my request known to God. And then what happens?
Yeah, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. I love that word guard. It's like the shepherd standing watch over their sheep by night, or the soldier standing guard over Peter when he was imprisoned, or Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, he says God's peace will guard our hearts, in other words, our emotions, and our minds, the things we think about.
That's right.
Because a lot of times when we worry, our thoughts just go over and over again.
Yes.
Some of you are there tonight, and we're not taking phone calls because we are pre-recorded, and we're pre-recorded because John had a conflict in his schedule, and he had something he had to do, and so he graciously agreed to come in early and record this program. But we want you to know, friend, that we are asking God to use this program to help you deal with these issues. Now, one thing we probably need to clarify, John, God's provision doesn't mean that we get everything we want or everything we think we need. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Again, it's the spiritual peace we have by knowing God. And as we pray, that's the real benefit, is having that peace in our hearts. Sometimes I think about this as praying to God for a solution or strength.
Mm, yeah. A solution will take the pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
Strength will let me bear up under the pressure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think about Job 23:10. It's one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament.
Okay.
And Job has been talking about, I don't know where God is. I've gone forward, backward, looked to the sides. I can't see him anywhere.
Mm.
And then he says, but he knows the way that I'm taking.
Mm.
When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, think about that. Maybe I'm being tested. Maybe God has allowed some circumstances in my life that have put me to the test. God wants me to trust him in the middle of that test.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I go back to John 14, Jesus' words from the upper room. Talk about that.
Yes, I love the picture of this, Don, of him saying, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world does, do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. How beautiful.
What a great picture for us. We'll continue our conversation on the subject of overcoming worry. Again, if you'd like to know more about Hope Speaks Clinic, go to hopespeaks.com.
Here's a conversation from hisfaithfulstewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to hisfaithfulstewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's hisfaithfulstewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Now, you just heard the phone number, and thank you, Steve, for giving that. But we are pre-recorded, so we're not taking your phone calls tonight. But Lord willing, next weekend, we will be taking calls on Encouragement Live. John Redd is with me as a Christian life coach, been involved in ministry for many years. And his ministry, Renewal Ministries, talking about renewing well for pastors. Mm-hmm. John, that ministry doesn't just touch pastors in North America.
No, we're very blessed to be able to be connected to pastors literally around the world.
Mm. And that's great. What are some of the things that you're doing to help those pastors?
You know, honestly, it's to be with them, to pray with them. What's been interesting, Don, is for these pastors that are on the other side of the world to know that there's someone in the United States who really cares, who's walking with them and praying for them.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about peace, and Jesus made the statement in John 14:27, mm-hmm. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, mm-hmm. not as the world gives. And here he gives an instruction, do not let your hearts be troubled, mm-hmm. nor let them be afraid. That implies something that you said earlier in the program, that to some degree, worry and fear is something we do to ourselves.
We do. It's a torment, and we do that to ourselves. Nobody else does it to us.
Yeah. Do you have any practical steps that you could share that might help the person who says, I just keep slipping into that worry? I'm like somebody used to say, a worry wart.
Right. You know, I think in any time we have something negative in our life, it's to recognize, first of all, that it's going on. Yeah. A lot of times worry just slips in and we don't even realize that we've gotten into that trap.
Yeah. So in other words, we know the negative side of worry, and you're suggesting replacing it with something positive.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I go back to Philippians 4, and right. This just occurred to me, verses 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. Paul says, whatever things are pure and noble and lofty, of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, those are all positives. And he says, keep thinking on these things.
Yes. I don't think there's any accident that whole section of Scripture was written together. It all fits together in a perfect plan to help overcome worry.
Yeah. Now, how can a person who says, you know, I just don't pray enough, or I'm not aware enough to pray, you know, we talked about replacing worry with prayer. Some practical help on that.
Yeah, I think the practical thing would be for anyone is to start just looking in Psalms.
Yeah.
Just to have, you need a guide, there are plenty of Psalms to go to read those, and just read them out loud and to begin to receive the Word of God through the reading.
Yeah, and Psalms is such a, they touch our emotions.
Yes.
It's the hymn book in the Scriptures.
Right.
And David in many instances, and Asaph and the others that wrote the Psalms, even Moses in Psalm 90, really expressing their feelings about God and even their feelings about life. And I can think of some of the time David said, trouble just overwhelmed me. And then he says, I cried out to God. And I think of Psalm 42 and 43. Mm-hmm. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Mm-hmm. Why are you disquieted within me? Mm-hmm. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance.
Yes.
And the implication, I think, of his countenance is God's looking at me. God sees what's going on.
Yes.
And he's there to help. And so if he's taking care of me.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading an article where worry and this kind of thing, we're compared with sheep. Sheep, and this individual wrote, sheep are one of the most dependent creatures in the world. They have to trust the shepherd for everything they need. And that's how God wants us to live,
right,
in dependence on him. When we constantly live in the fear of lack or the worry about lack, we're not trusting God. And that drives a lot of other fears. It leads us to anxiety. And it also connects, according to this author, with greed. Now, that's an interesting thought, is it not? That maybe I'm not getting everything I'd like to have. I'm not getting a new car. I'm not getting that new living room furniture or that job promotion or that kind of thing. And do people worry about those things?
Absolutely. And you know, you bring up a really good point there, Don. There's almost like this cycle of we fear for lack of, and then we try to attain it, and then if we attain it, we get fearful that we might lose it. So we get in this circle of just, and it's about material need.
Yeah, comes right down to it, and God has already said, I'll supply your needs. And in one sense, it's based on an erroneous belief about God. And I go back to David in Psalm 23, that very familiar statement, the very beginning, the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. And we translate that, I won't need, I won't lack. He's going to provide everything.
I love that because it's a declaration.
And
David's declaring, I shall not want.
Yeah. He'll feed me, provide what I need to eat. He'll guide me. I need direction for the future. He'll shield me. I need protection. In fact, he said in the psalm, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Some of us feel like we have enemies.
Right.
But he said, and I love the statement David made, my cup runs over.
Yeah.
And then surely goodness, there's the goodness of God, and mercy. And the word there, as you know, is loyal love. God's covenant love will pursue me all the days of my life. And then the last
eternity.
Part.
I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. This coming Sunday, I'm preaching on the eternal state.
Mm.
And to think about it, no pain, mm-hmm. no fear,
right.
no conflict, no disease, none of those kinds of mm-hmm. things. And we'll be serving him, we'll be worshiping him, and we'll do that forever mm-hmm. and ever and ever.
Amen.
And it may be tonight, John, we're talking to somebody mm-hmm. who hasn't yet trusted Christ as Savior. Mm. And they don't have that absolute assurance mm-hmm. of spending eternity with him and even having him meet their needs mm-hmm. here. Can you talk to us about how a person can come to personal saving faith mm-hmm. in Jesus Christ?
Oh, I'd love to, yeah. For listeners out there tonight that may not be following Christ right now, that may not know Christ, it's so beautiful. He's made the way. And we have to simply, what the Word says, if we can believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. And so if you haven't, let me encourage you. And Don, if it's okay, can I pray for our listeners?
Yes,
right
I, John, I would love for you okay. to do. That would be wonderful.
Okay.
Please do.
Lord, we just thank you so much for the listeners that are out there tonight. God, we thank you that your heart and your desires for that none of them would perish, but they would all come to a saving knowledge of you.
Yes.
So right now I ask, Holy Spirit, that you touch their heart, that you would bring them to that place of understanding that your love for them is magnificent. It's beyond measure. And that they would choose in this moment to say yes to you, Jesus.
Yes.
To be Lord of their life, to be their Savior, and to follow you all the rest of their days. And as Don just said, what we have to look forward to is to live in the house of the Lord forever.
Mm.
So, Lord, we thank you that you've made those promises to us, and we thank you for these that are listening, that you would touch their hearts and change their lives to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, if you have prayed along with John and you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, mm-hmm. we'd love to know about it. We'd love to send you some information, some resources that would help you get started in that walk with Jesus Christ. And a worry-free walk, mm-hmm. a walk that minimizes the effects of worry. And you can reach out to us through the website, encouragementlive.org. Mm-hmm. Those two words run together, encouragementlive.org. Or you can reach out to John directly mm-hmm. at renewalministries.org.
Yes.
R-E-N-E-W-E-L-L ministries.org. Mm-hmm. Now, some people may be thinking, but you don't understand. I really have a trouble trusting God. Mm-hmm. There was a man that came to Jesus that seemed to have a little trouble trusting. Talk about it.
Yeah, I think there was quite a few people that came to
Yeah, more than one.
Right. Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about the guy that said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes I think we all go to that place.
Sure.
You know, life happens and something just kind of trips in us, but the goodness and the mercy of the Lord to restore us to where he wants us to be is there for us.
Yeah. You know, I want to go back to something that was on the minds of all of us just a short time ago, and that is the incident that happened in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And how many people made the comment, news people, even the liberal media, that God protected former President Trump, that mm-hmm. he turned his head at just the right angle, mm-hmm. that 1 or 2 millimeters, I mean, how long is a millimeter, and he would have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
And to think about God's care, and when the secular media, as well as some Christians in the media, and there are some, but I mean, we counted the other night, my wife and I were sitting there, and I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, and almost everybody, and we're turning back and forth to a number of different places, and people are saying, God spared the man's life.
Yeah.
So if God would spare his life, what does that say to us about God protecting us?
Oh, goodness gracious, Don. His love for us is so grand that he wants to love us, care for us, and do all the things that he promises to do for us in the Word. He's told us what he's going to do for us if we'll simply receive what he has for us.
John, in putting the notes together for the show tonight, you mentioned and quoted Max Lucado, mm-hmm. who said, no man can pray, or no one can pray and worry at the same time. Mm-hmm. Equal opportunity, men, right. Women, all of us. Yeah, we're not letting anybody off the hook on that.
Right.
But it comes down to a choice.
It does. It's absolutely a choice. Yeah. And being aware of it, you know, being aware of what we're thinking. You know, we talk about how do we overcome some of these things? And we talk about our thought life. And you mentioned some of the scriptures a minute ago about thinking on things that are healthy.
Yeah. Very critical that we do that. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to, we're going to look at some practical steps to overcome worry, and we'll hold those for the last segment. But I want to talk, John, about the person who is really struggling with anxiety. Mm-hmm. You guys treat anxiety disorders at Hope Speaks Clinic.
Yes, we do. We have a team approach there with doctors, therapists, life coaches, and we're here to serve and help you guys.
Yeah, check the website. HopeSpeaks.com. That's HopeSpeaks.com. We'll be back.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarborough on the story of Scripture.
It's a two-day seminar that walks individuals from Genesis to Revelation and tells the grand story of God and what He is doing.
Don't miss your opportunity to find your place in the greatest story ever told.
And we find out by the time we get to the Gospels, it's all about Jesus.
The story of Scripture exists to fuel your passion as a believer toward a journey of deeper engagement in the full narrative of Scripture.
All this Bible that we have, it's all connected, and it's one continuous story that starts in Genesis, but to show the continuity of that is an exciting thing.
To learn more or sign up, visit thestoryofscripture.org. That's thestoryofscripture.org.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
It has been a pure delight to have John Redd in the studio with me on this pre-recorded edition of our program. And John, next time we're going to try to get you in here where we can be live and take some phone calls, because I think you would enjoy and people would enjoy the opportunity to have you talk with them and pray with them and that sort of thing.
Sure.
I think that would be good. Now, one of the strategies that we can take if we are struggling with believing that God will take care of us is to memorize the promises of God.
Yes.
Scripture's full of them. What are some of the promises that maybe you've memorized over the years?
You know, the one that I love is that He will never leave me or forsake me.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's my umbrella.
Yeah.
Of all the promises that I know He is with me and for me.
Yeah, that's a great one. I love that one from the book of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. He will never leave me. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do for me? And, you know, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and Philippians 4, 19, my God shall supply not some of your needs, but all of your needs. Now, again, the qualification point there is needs,
right.
And let's make sure we understand that. Now, we want to talk about some practical steps that we can take to overcome worry. You've identified some of those for us.
Right. Well, as we left off before the break about having healthy thoughts, Zig Ziglar said one time, stop the stinking thinking.
Yeah.
You know, and that again is to be aware of our thinking process and to take that thought captive and to say, okay, this situation may not occur.
You know, I had the privilege of working with Zig and actually ghost wrote one of his books and worked with him on a couple of others and just working with him. He was a man who practiced what he preached. Mm-hmm. He definitely addressed that stinking thinking thing right. and in a very graphic and vivid way, but he gave people practical insights on how to do that. Right. And his book, See You at the Top or Over the Top, was one that I had the privilege of working on. But getting our thinking adjusted so that it aligns with God's Word, and mm-hmm. The Word of God is truth, and Christ is the foundation. Mm-hmm. What's a second practical step we could take?
It's really to begin to live from a place of gratitude. And you may be in a situation right now where you're thinking, well, this situation is stressful, I'm worried about it, but the gratitude is remembering what God has done in your life.
Yeah.
Remembering His mercy to you, and then taking that and using that as the foundation, not what you're thinking about in that other situation.
I was reading something the other day, John, about a recommendation that somebody made that we make a list of things that we're thankful for. And in fact, this person was talking about the song, the old hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Mm-hmm. And it may be that we don't remember those blessings because we haven't documented them.
Right.
And maybe part of living gratefully is to set up a file on a computer or even on our telephone or just a plain old notepad to say, this is what God did for me today. And maybe it was something very simple.
Yes.
Maybe God protected me. This morning as I was leaving the house to drive to the studio, I was prepared to turn left, and the light turned green for me to turn left. And I started to turn left, and out of the corner of my eye, I spotted a very large truck that was running the red light on his side. And God gave me the grace to just hit the brake in time. Mm-hmm. And it was about as close as I'm sitting from you. Mm. So that's pretty close. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Thank you, Lord. There's something for me to put on my list today. It could have not only damaged the car, but I might not have been able to be here to record this program.
Right, right. You know, and as you mentioned the list, I really want to encourage people, because that's one of the things in life coaching that we do, is encourage people to write down the list, to make it visible. Mm-hmm. And you may be struggling right now to think of what you might be grateful for, but take the time to write it down. And I want to encourage you to put it by your bedside.
Ooh, maybe in the evening before you go to sleep or first thing in the morning when you wake up. Mm-hmm. That is a very practical recommendation. Mm-hmm. Now, you also suggest that we make changes in our daily mindset. Mm-hmm. What's the key to that?
Word of God.
Yeah.
Is fill ourselves with the Word of God. Yeah. Reading Scripture, read the Psalms like we mentioned before.
Yeah.
Read those things that are going to be uplifting. Don't focus on the television or the Twitter or whatever it might
media
be.
Media things,
right.
All the terrible things on both sides of politics and people saying this and that. And, you know, in the political season, boy, things can get really, really nasty and blood pressure goes up and that sort of thing. For me, a great example of this is the prophet Jeremiah. Mm. And there is a statement that Jeremiah makes. Now, when we think of Jeremiah, there is a phrase that we use, the blank prophet.
The weeping prophet.
Yeah.
Right.
Prophet. The Book of Lamentations, he was there when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. Right. But he says in Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. Mm. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Mm. And there are several things, John, in that verse that mean a lot to me. Number one, they were living in a time when they had lost the Scriptures, as it were. In fact, King Josiah and some of the earlier kings, they had to clean out the temple and dig through the debris and find a copy of Scripture. But Jeremiah says, your words were found. Maybe some of us are in the old song, Dust on the Bible, and maybe we haven't found the way to open that Bible. But Jeremiah said, I ate them. Now, the picture of eating is I'm taking something into my mind, into my heart. I'm not just reading it, but I'm meditating on it. Mm-hmm. Think of Psalm 1. We meditate on the Word of God day and night.
Right.
And Jeremiah says, your Word brought me joy and rejoicing. Now, he literally had a transplant of attitude from weeping to joy.
Yeah. So it's amazing how when we start to embed ourselves into anything, it can be good or bad,
right,
but we do it into the good, it will change how we think.
So carve out some time to spend every day in the Word of God so that you will be able to deal with those things.
Right.
And then you talked about writing things down before. Mm-hmm. This is a tool for life coaches.
It is.
Some people call it journaling.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I encourage all of my clients to journal what's going on, to process through it, and to look at the positive things. A lot of times we'll want to journal the things that are negative, but this is where the encouragement comes in, Don, to write down the things that God has done.
Yeah, just make it a point. But John, I can hear some people saying, what if I don't have the time to do, or what if I don't feel like I have the time to do these things?
Well, I think I would ask them this. Do you have time to worry? Are you spending time worrying? Mm-hmm. Are you spending time on the things that aren't benefiting you? And the answer is probably yes.
Yeah. Or here's some other questions to go along with that. Do you have time to brush your teeth in the morning?
Right.
Do you have time to eat 3 square meals a day?
That's right.
Maybe 2.
Yeah.
Do you have time to get some sleep at night? Maybe some. Or maybe you stay awake worrying and so you're not sleeping and you better do something about that. But, you know, the bottom line is worry becomes a habit, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
How do you break the habit?
You know, it takes time. Yeah. Just like any to change any habit, it takes some time to do that. And it's a discipline to begin to think differently, to choose to think differently.
Yeah. Now, this sounds like we're talking about a contrast between worry and trust.
It is. Absolutely.
Yeah. Amplify that a little bit, if you will.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Are we trusting in our worry, Don, or are we trusting in the God who can eliminate the worry and take the burden?
Yeah. Yeah. What is the object of our trust, of our faith?
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is we're not putting our trust in God when we're focused on or dwelling on worry, and that's painful to admit. We don't like to do that. So we're asking some questions when we're worrying.
We are.
What questions are we asking?
God, are you really going to take care of this? Are you going to provide the solution to my problems?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I mentioned before, it's solution or strength.
Yeah.
Sometimes he does provide the solution.
Right.
But if we will pray for the strength to get through the situation, he will provide that.
And he certainly does that. We don't know what the future
holds.
Right. None of us knows what lies ahead. But we have to choose to walk in faith and trust the God we have come to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about one of the Fox News commentators was talking about they had interviewed former President Trump just an hour or two before he flew to Pennsylvania and where that bullet almost took his life.
Mm-hmm.
And she was making the comment, I talked with him afterward, and he said, God saved my life.
Mm.
God spared me.
Mm.
And I think about Joseph in the Old Testament and his brothers, and he said to them, you intended it for evil, but God worked it out for good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe as we close our program out today, John, we could just pray for some folks that maybe are in impossible situations they're worried about.
Mm.
Would you lead us in prayer? Absolutely. For those folks.
I love that scripture, but God.
Yeah.
But God.
But God.
But God. So, Father, right now, we come before you in the matchless name of Jesus. You are great and mighty above all. And for those that are listening right now that seem to be facing an impossibility, God, there's nothing too difficult for you. So I pray for a solution or for strength. Solution to the problem they're facing.
Yes.
Or strength to persevere in the situation they're in until the situation changes. And Lord, we thank you that we have hope in you by your grace and your mercy and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And if some of you are in a position where you are overwhelmed with fears and worries and you just can't get a handle on it, reach out to the folks at Hope Speaks Clinic. Hope and help is available. Again, the website is hopespeaks.com. And their phone number is 972-669-1733. 972-669-1733. Learn more about the ministry of John Redd at renewalministries.org. R-E-N-E-W-E-L-L ministries.org. John, thanks for joining
us. Thanks, Don.
And good evening from Encouragement Live.